We're talking about Tanakh, about the Halal Haggadah, and we talked about kind of the introduction to it and how it was said at bringing the car, when we bring the carbon Pesach. The Gemara says we say Halal Haggadah at the Seder, and we say it every week, every Shabbos, as part of our expanded Sugya Zimra. And fundamentally, Halal Haggadah is Tilim Perek Kuf Lamed Vav, which is the Hod Lashem Ki Tov Ki Ulam Chaso. There's 26 psukim that all end with Kilu Lam Chasto. Hodu Adonai HaAdonim Kilu Lam Chasto. Hodu Na'alaloi HaAdonim Kilu Lam Chasto. And it's called Halal Gadol because it goes through the great miracles. Hamakai Mitzrayim Bivchorehem killed the firstborn of Egypt. Kilu Lam Chasto because his mercy endures forever. And it has the, for the hidden miracles, the parnasa, the our ongoing existence, the notin lechem achol basar, God gives sustenance to all flesh, kilam chasel, plus his mercy endures forever. And we repeat that over and over again. And that's what the Gemara in Pesachim says. Amarav Shizvi, Mishnei Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah, in source one, kashin mizonotav shel adam kriyat yamsu, that the miracle of mizonot, the fact that we can eat, we survive every day, is as great a miracle as splitting the Red Sea. We see it because in our parak it says, "No tein lechem mechol basar, kilo am chasto," that God gives food to all flesh for His mercy endureth forever. Like quoting that, the Samech Lane right before that says, "The gozer yamsuf u'gzarim kilo am chasto," that God split the the Red Sea into passages, you split the sea, kilam chasto. Both of those are equally miracles. Now, we don't say it every day of the halal, and it's got a great sentiment. We don't say it every day, I think, because it's really not halal in the sense of celebrating Hashem's relationship with us and the things that Hashem does to us. It's a hodu, it's a hoda'a, it's thanks, an expression not of so much of awe, but gratitude. An acknowledgement that we're inadequate. We can't do this ourselves, we need Hashem. And that's a good thing, but doesn't have the same sense of halal. And specifically, this perek is about the fact that we don't deserve them. We don't deserve those miracles. They're an act of chesed. Kilo lam chasto, it is an act of chesed on God's part. So we have to look at that idea later on. And the perek starts, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov, give thanks to God because it is good, because He is good. That's not clear how to translate that. Kilo lam chasto, because His mercy endures forever. And Zohar Atkins, who I've quoted before, the philosopher and friend of Joy Rosenblum, so this whole intellectual group all talks to each other, has an interesting translation. He translates Hodu Lashem Ki Tov as give thanks to the Lord, although it is good, although God's generosity is inviolable. So he translates ki not as because, but as although, which is a legitimate way of translating it in Tanakh. But I think he's sort of saying here is, you know, Hodu Hashem Ki Tov, give thanks to Hashem, even though God is good. God's all good. Why should we thank Him? It's not going to change anything that God does. God's going to do good for us, whether or not we say anything at all about it. Hashem defines good. So what's the point of Hoda'ah? The obvious answer is that it's good for us, right? We need to express that gratitude. Hashem doesn't need our expression, but we need that. In fact, the Gemara puts it, the Midrash puts it, is that that was the purpose of creation. Was so that we can, part of the purpose of creation is that we can express our gratitude. Hashem does good to us, and we appreciate that goodness, and that's our sort of share in creation. This is the Midrash Rabbah. Rav Huna b'shem Rav Mata Amar. Rav Huna said in the Nei Ramana, "Bizchut shlosha devarim nivra ha'olam." The world was created for the sake of three things: bizchut challah, bizchut masrot, bizchut bikurim. For the mitzvah of challah, of separating a piece of the dough gift to kohen, for the maser that we give, and because of bikurim, giving the first fruits. Matam, how do you know this? Again, this is the Midrash. Just reading the text midrashically, it says bereishit bara Elokim, which is reading it as for the sake of Reshit. Rashi on that pasuk says Reshit is Israel, Reshit is the Torah, Reshit Chachma Yirat Hashem. The minister said no. Reshit here is Ein Reshit Al Achala, as the pasuk says, that chal is reshit arisotechem, the first year dough. In reshit al masrot, that says reshit gancha, that for the sake of these things that are called reshit, because of the dagan. In reshit el bikurim, that's the first fruit, shenemar reshit bikurim matacha, you give the first fruit. So these things that are called reshit. Reshit for alakim, the sake of the things that are called reshit. The Alshik on Bikurim is bothered by this. Why should Bikurim specifically be that important? God will create the world to take a Bikurim. The Alshik. The Sumle, that when we pay attention, when we look at what the Chazal said in the Breshit Rabbah about how important Bikurim are, we try to figure that out. Why? Navoa Tafnata. We understand the purpose of Bikurim. Vamram Breshit Bara Bishil Mitzvah Breshit, Bikurim rather. That world created Breshit because that's Bikurim, Breshit Bikurim Matacha, the first fruits. If Mad Gedolah Mitzvah Zot, Shalel Levadan Yevra Olam, so we have to figure out why this is such a great mitzvah that the world created for the sake of that. Hin Tival Yiparach Asot Ekol Kavora Morva Mishnah. So that's why that part of the mitzvah Bikurim, as described in the Mishnah, was this whole ceremony. He brought all these first fruits, and it was a huge parade coming from all over Israel. It's to show that we had expressed our gratitude to Hashem. That's what Bikurim is all about. So we have a huge ceremony. That's why Hashem created the world, for the sake of Bikurim, to express gratitude to God. That everything belongs to God. We bring all of our first fruits to show this. That's what God wants of us. Acknowledge that Hashem created it. It's a gift, it's chesed, no question, but just say thank you. By getting your kids to do that. The whole world was created for the sake of man. It was only to acknowledge the good, and praise God for it. Not to be an ingrate. And that's what the Torah exists for, the sake of that gratitude. You need to express gratitude. This is Rabbi Friend, who puts it this way, that the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, I tried to find the original, I couldn't find the original. It says, nothing harder for the Almighty to live with than an ungrateful person. That's why Adam is exiled from the Garden of Eden, because of the ingratitude. His sin was not merely eating from the Eitz HaDaat. That sin alone, perhaps, he could have remained in Gan Eden. The straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak, was the fact that in response to God's question, why ate from the Eitz HaDaat, Adam said, the woman you gave to me, she gave me this fruit and I ate. He blamed someone else and then blamed God. You gave me this woman, she caused all the trouble. Adam was being ungrateful. God presented him as a gift, and Adam complained that she caused him to sin. The message continues, our ancestors in the wilderness also angered God for their failure to recognize his goodness toward them. They moaned the good days in Egypt, and they had the melons and garlic. They complained about the man they had. Lack of gratitude is the reason to destroy the world. That the Medrash equates the sin of ingratitude with the fundamental theological denial, the kafira bi'ikar of the Almighty. They're coming on the Seder here, right? That the Ben Rasha is kofra bi'ikar. That's the problem. Part of Kofar B'Ikar is not expressing gratitude. And that we have to practice this gratitude, because if you're grateful to his fellow man, ultimately ungrateful to the Almighty as well. When it's ingrate to boss, friends, spouse, parents, neighbor, it will eventually come to deny the favors of the Almighty. So that's what we're doing with Hodu. Hodu Hashem Kito, Kilim Chastel, even though Hashem is good and he's going to do it for us anyway, we are still going to Hodu. We need to acknowledge that and need to thank God. We need to know who to offer that thanks to. The parak continues. Hodu Elokei Elohim. Praise the God of Elohim, God's mighty one. Ilam Chasto. Hodu Adonai Hadonim. Praise the master of all things that are masters. Of course, his mercy endures forever. Lo Sednif Lo Bada. Because God does the miracles alone, by himself. Because Hashem's hand is never obvious. Hashem acts in the world through intermediaries. That's what natural law is. We don't see open miracles, but realize that the one we're thanking is still Hashem. The Radak puts it, L'Adonai Hadonim, Him Agagalim, this is the heavenly spheres. Him Adonim, Ashrafim, that rule over our lives. I'm going to translate again. The laws of nature. God is a master of those. And who makes those run? The answer is, Hashem is the master of those. That's what you have to expect thanks to. And then the prayer continues with the description of the Nifla'ot G'dolot. What are those wonders? The answer is, Loseh Shemayim B'tuna, creates the heavens with understanding, Kizolom Chato, mercy endures forever. The Raka Ar Salamayim spreads the earth over the waters as part of creation, separating land from water, Kizolom Chato. Loseh Arim G'dolim creates the great lights in the heavens, Kizolom Chato. Tashemesh L'mishel Bayom creates the sun to rule by day, and the moon and the stars to rule by night, Kilam Chastel. That's his mercy. Creates the sun, the moon, and the stars. Specifically, Nimshol, to rule. So, and that's interesting. Why pick those of all the miracles of creation, of everything? Why pick the creation of celestial bodies? And why? What is Nimshol, to rule by day and night? What does that mean? And that's the way it's worded, that there are two roles for the, as it's described, the heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, the stars. That's the way it's worded in the actual act of creation. But Yasso came Hashem Marot Gadolim. God created the two great lights, et hamara gadol mishal tayom, mishal tayom, et hamara hakaton, mishal talayla. Right? The sun, to rule. Let's see what mishal Allah means. During the day, and the moon to rule at night, betekachrim and the stars. And Hashem placed them in the heavens, la'ir al-art, to provide light, vilim shol v'yom v'alayla, and to rule. What does that mean? By day and night. Ula habdil bet olam choshech, and to provide light and darkness, v'yal ki betovim, that was good. Specifically, we're praising God in this parak for the mim shalah. What does that mean? Ramban says it. Limshol b'yom b'alayla, inyan ha-memshalah. Davar acher mibli ha-or ha-shizkir. That there's the idea of memshalah, the rule is something separate from the light. Yesh lehem memshalah ba'aretz, because the heavenly bodies rule over the earth. Yishiniyah, asher yulidu ba, with the changes that they create on earth. Limshalah b'hobah b'hefzeh kosh b'aliyam, and that they determine what happens on earth. Yekan she-memshalah, that this memshala is basically a delegated power from God, that they are the forces that guide what happens on earth, so they rule over everything, and that the constellations that cause growth during the day, Yimshol Bo, that's what Memshala is, the Mazal Tzomech Balayla, and then the constellations that appear at night, Yimshol Bo, that's what Memshala is. Memshala here is an expression of astrology, that the heavenly bodies rule over what we do. And I'm not an astrologer. You read in the newspaper about all the good things about what's supposed to happen. And it's all true, by the way. Everything that says in the astrology column newspaper, it's all true. But then you do the stars. They tell you, you know, you should exercise more, eat healthy, and be nice to your friends. And that's true no matter what your stars say. But classically, astrology isn't magic. It's an attempt to explain the universe with predictable mechanical laws. Astrology was science. I think it's worth realizing that. It's not good science sense. It wasn't right. You know, people, we have different invisible forces. Gravity is an invisible force that no one would have figured out. Strong nuclear force. If I told you that your life is determined by invisible mucusy stuff that's in the middle of your cells, which you wouldn't even know existed in the first place, no one would have known that. But still, the whole idea of astrology is like, let's figure out how the world works. That's what the expression of Shemesh Memshel Bayom, Yirech Memshel Balayla, is an expression of, let's figure out the forces of nature, expression of science. Not magic, it's not pagan. And as Karl Popper kind of pointed out, that his argument against astrology was not that there was no evidence for it, just that he's a philosopher who figured out what modern science was about falsification. Probably the pseudoscience, in his sense. The stupendous mass of empirical evidence based on observation. There's lots of things that astrologers get right. What makes it not science in the modern sense is the fact there's nothing there that can be proven wrong. So it's going to be general statements. You know, if you're a Leo, you should eat healthy. But still, the underlying idea of astrology, I would say back in the time of David, back in the time of Ramban even, was the idea that we could try to understand the universe in a mechanistic way. It's not all run by demons and ununderstandable ways. And that's fundamentally true. But those forces that we would now call the force of nature are not the ones that we think. They don't have independent existence. They don't have independent intelligence. They are the malachim of Hashem. They're simply the servants of Hashem. So when we're saying the Hodah, it's got to be the God. And that's what we say in Baruch Hinashi. We said it yesterday. God makes the ruach, the winds, his servants, his malachim. The fire is God's servant as well. That all these forces of nature are the servants of God. And that's Rambam. And then Mor Nevuchim, that's his big objection to Aristotle. Aristotle said that every sphere had its own intelligence. It is somehow independent knowledge and desire for it to move. No, that's not what this means. When we say, we're saying that God is the one who controls all of that. When we express our thanks, it's not to the sun, the moon, the wind, gravity, DNA, genetics. It's to a personal Kadosh Baruch Hu. And we know that expressing appreciation for inanimate objects is not a bad thing. See that when Moshe, you got Pesach coming up, all the Mako. Excuse me. When Hashem tells Moshe, you gotta strike the river to turn it to blood, bring out the frogs, turn the land into life. He specifically tells Moshe, Aaron should do it. That's what Rashi says. Yemarshem Moshe and Moral Aaron. Hashem tell Moshe, go tell Aaron, Mitet Marcha b'Hakafar Aretz, go strike the land, Vayel Kinam b'Kol Eretz Yisrael, and there will be life throughout the land. And Rashi says, "Lefi shehigen hayor al Moshe kishe nishlachu tocho," and because this is about the river. Because that Moshe, that the river protected Moshe when he was a baby, right? He was saved because he was put in the river. Therefore, lo lakal yado. Therefore, Moshe wasn't going to strike it, right? Not with the sfardeya, and therefore not the land because he buried the Egyptian. So you can express gratitude to inanimate objects. But it's there to make us better people, to train our midot, to remind us about those things. That's where Aryeh says about that. It's l'lamdecha derech eretz, to teach you manners. The land doesn't care about whether you appreciate it or not. God cares we appreciate it. And he quotes the Gemara in Bava Kamma, bira d'shitat mineh, a well that you've drunk for, al tashtei beikala, don't throw rocks into it. Therefore, Moshe didn't want to strike the river that saved him, not as a sense of hoda'ah, but as media development. He expressed gratitude. So then we go and says, what are we expressing gratitude for? We're going to go through the miracles of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. The Makam Mitzrayim de Choreim, Kilim Chato, he struck the firstborn. The Yitzhak Yisrael B'Tachom, Kilim Chato, brought Israel out. The Yad Chazakav Zorantiyah, with the outstretched hand, with Gozer Yam Zuzuka Gazarim, split the sea. The Vir Yisrael B'Tachom brought Israel through it in the dry land. The Nier Parov Chayol B'Yam Suf, and drowned the Egyptians. I'm not going to go into this detail. We know this. We're going to read this over and over. We're going to for hours and hours on Pesach. The Molech Amol Bamidbar brought the nation to the desert. The Makem Lachim Golim, and brought them into Israel, conquered the kings, the Arog Malachim Adirim, and killed the mighty king, Sichon Melech Amori, Kilim Chasso. They conquered Sichon, Og Melech Bashan, and Og in the Golan. Natan Atzam Nachalan gave their land as parents Nachalal Yisrael, about Herons to Israel, his people, Hilam Chasto. You look at that list, and there's something missing. What's missing on that list? Well, the answer, since everyone's on mute, so no one can, I'm getting no feedback whatsoever. It's very frustrating. Okay, but compare what we say. We go through that list in the Seder. That's what Dayenu is, right? You sing it, oh, Dayenu, and that whole list, right? Right. Al-Kakamakama Tovu Kufula, Hotel Mitzrayim, Asabesh Fatim, Asab Elohim, Harag Bechareham, all those things. God, he struck the firstborn, Paralana Tayam, split the sea, every run of the Tokhu Bechareva, he brought us in the dry land, Tipek Terei Bechareham, Bamibar Am Shana, gave us the man, and Natanat the Shabbat, the Kirbanu was Nehar Sinai, right? Brought us to Har Sinai, Natanat the Torah. Gave us the Torah. That would seem to be an important thing. But in our description here, in our parak, that's not there. Took us out of Egypt, brought us into land. Nothing.
Shabbos isn't there either. Shabbos is Shabbos isn't there either, as far as I can see.
That's true, but I'm less surprised by that as being. I think to me that Har Sinai seems a major part of Shabbos is part of the Har Sinai experience. I would say that we're missing this important part. So if you're an academic, you'd say, because this is from a different tradition that didn't believe in Sinai, that kind of get merged together. But we're not going to say that. So that goes back, I think, and this is a point that's raised by Rav Kuttner about the message of gratitude of this whole parak. This is 26 psukim of Hilel of Chasov, because God's mercy is forever. And the Gemara in Pesachim says about this, from Yeshua and Levi. Ani Eshrim Mishvishisha Hodu. The 26th Psukim of Hodu, Kenegan Mi. Why pick 26? It's an unusual number. The answer is, Kenegan Eshrim Shisha Dorot, because it corresponds to 26 generations, Shabbat HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bo'olamo, that existed from creation, Belona Talana Torah, before the Torah was given. I can't count it out. You got 10 from Adam to Noah, 10 from Noah to Abraham, then Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Levi, Yitzhar, Amram, Moshe, another 6. So 26 generations in the Torah from creation till Ma'an Torah. And until that point, those 26 generations represented by these 26 Sukkim, God provided for the world the Chesed. Rabbi Shua is clearly not saying this parak is about those generations, because clearly it goes beyond Ma'an Torah, right? It goes into not the entrance of Bnei Israel into Eretz Israel. I think what he's saying about that Hashem was Zan Otam B'chasto, God provided for the world, but with Chesed, he's talking about an approach to understanding divine providence. These 26 sukkot. So this is the Pachad Yitzchak. This is Rav Huttner trying to understand what this Chesed of Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Kilim Chasto represents. So in Gemara and Pesachim, we just quoted, it says, Hanach Eshrim Shisha, Kilom Chasto, that these 26 verses of Kilom Chasto, connected Eshrim Shisha Dorot, the Briyat Olam Ma'an Torah. There are 26 generations from creation to giving the Torah. Shadayin lo nitna Torah, because the Torah not been given, but Kadosh Baruch Hu Zan Otam Chasto, Hashem provided for the world out of chesed, out of mercy. Here in Shem, go look at the Gemara there. The Davar She'ein Tzarich Lomar, and it goes without saying. You know, if someone ever says it goes without saying, they're going to spend a lot of time saying it, right? So it goes without saying that She'ein HaKavana, the intention here is not Lomar Marzeh, the intention is not to say, Ki Mima'an Torah Ve'elah, that once God gave the Torah, it's Mata Pu'atash Midat Chasto Yitzhak, that God no longer has Chesed. Not saying 20th generation of Chesed, and then God gave the Torah, there's no more Chesed. Ela Adarav, still the way around. What Mar is saying here, Balam Dena, teaches us, Sha'al Yedei Ma'an Torah, Nit Rabta Nikadla Pulatasha Midat HaChesed, that the nature of God's Chesed changed with giving the Torah. There's a new aspect of Chesed. God gives us the Torah and the mitzvot in it. Akadei Nitiat Makom Lekium Ha'olamot B'tur Tashlum Sra'. But now, it's possible for the world to exist in the sense of payment. We earn the right to exist. It's less of a chesed, because now we have mitzvot to do and can say we deserve to exist. Ocheb otama kachvav darot, just name on Torah, that in those 26 generations before there was a Torah, akum olamot ba betur matnachina. That what people did, God let the world exist, even though they weren't keeping the Torah because they didn't have a Torah to keep. So God was being generous, allowing everyone to exist. And in fact, this is a greater chesed now, not in Torah, that once God gives us the Torah, this is not giving us a gift for free. We now have a sense of we're a partner in this. We have something to do. When we say that those first 26 generations exist because of pure mercy, this is like the fact that we provide for our children. When we expect that at some point they'll grow up, and they'll be able to earn their living by themselves. Right? We do expect that of our children at some point to earn their living by themselves. So that the 26 generations before, and Susie is smiling because your children are off the payroll already.
So
the 26 generations before Mount Torah are that Hashem is kind of the world as childhood. Hashem supporting us so that we could get to the point of being able to accept the Torah, and now we can earn our own existence there. We see from here. Even though you definitely say there's definitely a concept of reward and punishment before Ma'an Torah, there the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, the idea that Abraham could understand what was the right thing to do, the idea of Yirat Elokim, natural law, that was a good thing to do, and people were rewarded for doing the right thing. In Koma Kom, still, in Chara Shel Avodat Hashem B'nei Ma'an Torah, must speak. That reward wasn't enough. The zakefet etzem kiyum to have the world be able to stand on its own. Kiyum alamot al cheshbono. Based on that, the reward they would get was not enough. Warrant existence. There was still this chesed. He called chesed should be tour. But that was simply being generous by allowing the world to exist. Again, with the expectation that we would start keeping the Torah, and now we can deserve it. That was the point of creation with the Torah. That the eventual goal, that the existence of the world should be in the sense of schar, of something that was deserved. We do mitzvot, and therefore Hashem gives us our panasa. That requires the Torah. So that's with the 26 generations beforehand. And what we're saying in here, but we're still saying, is that we still don't deserve it. Yeah, that hypothetically we could be perfect and then deserve existence, but we're still not. Hashem still keeps the world going on kilolom chastel, on the mercy. That the world created to fulfill the Torah. But we say this, that we're acknowledging, we're thanking God that allowing us to exist even though we're not perfect. That was true before the Torah was given, it's true, still true today, because we don't live to Hashem's expectations. And that's what because it continues, Shebishvi Lenu Zachalai, in our lowliness. Hashem remembers us, Kilam Chasto, mercy is forever. Leith Kareinu Mitzarenu redeems us from our trouble, Kilam Chasto. And this is the way the Chidah puts it, Shebishvi Lenu Zachalanu. What does that mean? Our lowliness. Afshar Ma Shepirashti, this is what I explain. And he quotes a piyut from Yom Kippur. We don't say it's think this looks far. We say, Dalut Masim Bishurecha, that we are poor in deeds, in your eyes. Hared Tzedek Me'alecha, so bring justice from you, God. We don't deserve it. Chas v'shalom. God forbid. Shelo yesh ma'asim tovim. When we don't have ma'asim, we don't do mitzvot. Lo yesh yichud kamot shasari. Then we don't have this connection to Hashem that we need. Manu palim, Dalut Masim Bishurecha. So that's what the piyut says, that we are poor in deeds in your eyes, and we're separated from the Shekhinah, we don't have a relationship to Hashem, courage tzedek, to bring that righteousness closer. Ishchinat Uzenu Me'alecha, bring it from you. That God, you grant it to us. But yeah, you could shalem, therefore we can be close to you, God. Zeshech Katuv, Shed Bishvilenu, on our lowliness, not our poverty, literally, but our dalut ma'asim, our lack of mitzvah. And that, and so therefore we can finish the whole perek with the certainty that Hashem will provide for us. Thank you, God. We will still have food to eat. Kilam chasto. And therefore, hodu l'kal shamayim. Thank God. Kilam chasto, because His mercy endures forever. And that expression of gratitude is what the hodu l'Hashem is all about. And I'll end with a incident from Gemara and Tanit about Halal Gadol. There was a famine. They established a fast day to pray for a drought, rather, pray for rain in Lud. And the rain came down while they were still davening. Rabbi Tarfon said, go, eat, drink, have a holiday. The prayers were answered. And they had a party, ate and drank. Uvo ben Arbayim. And then that evening came, Vakaro Halagadol, the red Halagadol. That's this parak over here. Thank you, God. You answered our prayers. Name a Halamikas. Gemara asks, why don't they just say Halal until the rain started? Why don't they say Hodo Sempitov? And Abaya and Rabba de Amitavayu, Abaya and Rabba said, the fish ain't on Halal Ella Al Nefes Sivava Keres Male. Because you have to say, when you're saying Halal, saying thank you, it's got to be with a satisfied spirit and a full stomach. While you're hungry, you're right, you have to actually feel the gratitude in order to say it, in order to say halal. So that's why we say our halal is actually after the meal at the Seder, right? Definitely a full stomach at that point. So you have something to say thank you for. And the Gemara asks, Ini, is that right? Barav Papa, Ikla, Lebe Kanishta, Dabaye, the Avi Abe Gubar, and what we have this other story about Papa, that he came to the Beit Knesset, the shul in Abi Gubar, some city, and he declared, we need to have a fast day because there's a drought. And the rain came down by noon, and the fast was over. But Amar Lahem, he told them, and he said, you better say halal now, and then go have your party and celebrate. What about the idea you should say it with a full stomach with keres malay? No, he says, Shani b'nei mechuza, the people of that place were different. He knew they were going to get drunk. They never daven afterwards. But if you get too drunk, you should say halal beforehand. But the bottom line is, we say our halal we say our holy lesson, our gratitude, when we actually have something. We're not praying for it, but we have it. We have a full stomach and say, we are satisfied. Don't just fall asleep after the meal. Say your halal, say your hodu. And that's what nefesh, you have to say your hoda'a, the nefesh sab'ah, with a satisfied spirit. Because we have to tell God, you give the food, you give it to us. Therefore, you say it with a full. That is the parak of Hodu Hashem Ki Tov that we say at the end of the Seder. Hopefully, we'll all still be paying attention by that point, not have fallen asleep after Afikoman, because we still thank Hashem for all the food that we've eaten. That's the end of Halal. Next time, which is going to begin after Pesach, we'll look at the more concrete expressions of gratitude, we'll look at the Korban Toda and the Tilim that go with that. I will stop here and thank you for joining me. I'll express my gratitude.
Thank you, Danny. Good day.
Thank you. Have a great trip.